This is Business Beat. Welcome. Here each week, KBIA takes a look at the business and economic issues facing Mid-Missouri. I'm Christopher Husted. Coming up, we'll take a look at how women and minority workers in the U.S. are faring in the job market. But first, growing across the Midwest is a strain of hybrid corn that should perform well under the driest conditions. Harvest Public Media's Rick Fredrickson says this summer's parched farmland is providing an ideal test.
The subpar corn harvest of 2012 is coming in early after the worst growing conditions in more than two decades.
We've been really dry all summer. I talked to an older gentleman some time ago that said that he had taken 47 crops off of his farm, and this was about the worst that he'd ever seen it.
Bill Simmons is combining 1,300 acres of corn on the Klan farm outside Atlantic, Iowa. Multiple varieties were planted, but one field turned out to be especially interesting, a 300-acre section devoted to Aquamax, a new drought-resistant product from DuPont Pioneer.
Well, it's doing really well for us, I mean, all things considered. What I've been in so far, we're running about 50 bushel better in the Aquamax corn.
Simmons expects to plant more Aquamax in 2013. Pioneer's drought-resistant lineup was the first to be widely available. 2 million acres were planted across the Corn Belt this year. Major competitors are also out with their own anti-drought varieties. Pioneer has been studying drought-resilient corn since the 1950s. At its test farm in Johnston, Iowa, parent company DuPont has spent much of its billion-dollar research budget developing the new hybrids. The company says drought-fighting traits in Aquamax are native to corn, so are not genetically modified. There's a lot at stake in this new hybrid revolution, from global warming implications to feeding the world. ISU professor Chad Hart.
When you look back over the past 60 years here in Iowa looking at corn and soybeans, nearly half the time, the reason we lose a crop is because of a drought or very dry conditions. So if we can breed the crop to be tolerant of those conditions, to still maintain that yield, it is a game changer then, if we can pull it off.
Pioneer Business Director Todd Fraser expects its new designer corn will be a key option as farmers wonder if the dry weather pattern might extend into another growing season.
Yes, we're getting very good feedback on Aquamax hybrids this year. The future of Aquamax is definitely expansion. We'll see a significant increase next year for 2013 planting in Aquamax hybrids, and we've just launched Aquamax in Europe as well.
According to Fraser, studies show a yield advantage of at least 7% for these new drought-busting varieties. But he says they still need water. They're not a cactus. Iowa Agriculture Secretary Bill Northey says this year's drought has been the best test possible for the newly engineered seed corn.
All farmers are interested in it. Obviously, after this year, we're really interested in it. But it still has to be in its right place. We don't expect a drought every year. We do probably expect some period of dry weather. And at the end of the day, it's going to be how does it yield compared to other crops.
As summer winds down on the most widespread drought in more than half a century, farmers and the seed companies are anxiously monitoring the harvest for a judgment on the new drought-resistant technology. Growers want proof that it works. The agribusiness giants want validation that their massive investments will pay off. Near Atlantic, I'm Rick Fredrickson for Harvest Public News.
The U.S. unemployment rate dropped to 8.1% in July, but several groups are still feeling the heat more than others. KBIA's John Ingram sat down with economist Peter Muser to talk about his recently published study that looked at unemployment across several groups, including women and minorities.
Can you explain to me a little bit about what the study set out to show?
Sure. We were interested in looking at the differentials in unemployment rates for these groups, for men as compared to women, non-whites as compared to whites, and Hispanics as compared to non-Hispanics. And what was the primary focus of the study is to what degree could those differentials be explained by the kinds of jobs people had.
And what did the results show?
It's been true for quite a while now, at least 15 years, that the rate of unemployment for women has been very close to the rate of unemployment for men. And the interesting question for us is, well, to what degree can you attribute that or tie that back to the kinds of jobs women hold as compared to the kinds of jobs men hold. And what we found is that women tend to be in jobs that have lower unemployment rates. If you look at the kind of industries they're in, you look at the kinds of blue-collar, white-collar distinctions, you discover women are in those sorts of jobs which have low unemployment rate. And that explains why women's unemployment rate is similar to men's. Because, in fact, if you look within each of those categories, say you look at a woman who's in the same type of job a man is in, on average, her unemployment rate is actually higher. So there's a pattern there that's to some degree hidden by the kinds of jobs women actually are in.
Why do you think that is within, you know, within profession, if you're just as mentally capable? What's the reason?
I'm personally fairly careful about identifying a causal factor because people's politics seems to determine which kind of explanation they veer towards. If you're a liberal, you would say there's discrimination, that women are less likely to be hired, that employers are they're unemployed at higher rates because they're having a harder time getting jobs. If you're a conservative, you would note that women are much more likely to have alternatives outside the labor market.
And what is the unemployment gap between whites and non-whites in blue and white-collar jobs?
Looking within each of those categories, you see that black workers, non-white workers, because that's what we're looking at, have appreciably higher unemployment than white workers. Well, there are a couple of things that are interesting. One is that that gap is at least somewhat declining. The differential is not as great as it was 15 years ago, but it's there and it's still substantial. The second thing, which is in contrast to the case of gender, men versus women, is that none of that gap is explained by the kinds of jobs that non-whites have as compared to whites. So that the types of jobs that non-whites have, they're not identical to the kinds that whites have, but they aren't systematically higher or lower unemployment. And the other thing is that the differences between non-whites and whites in terms of types of jobs is much smaller than the difference between men and women.
That was KBIA's John Ingram talking to MU professor Peter Muser. And that will do it for Business Beat this week. To see these stories and find a link to Muser's study, check out kbia.org. I'm Christopher Husted. Thanks for listening.